The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council. Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. I bet on FanDuel as often and as comfortably as I possibly can. It is America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. There are fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. So many bet types. Same game parlay bets, live betting, player props, futures, and so much more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started right now. Sign up with the promo code BOXING so they know I sent you.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, my guest this week, two of my favorite guys in all of boxing. They are the co-hosts of the DAZN Boxing Show, which you can see every weekday on DAZN, DAZN.com, or the app. They also have, we'll call it a fetish, with getting punched in the chest by boxers. I find this to be, we might have to dive into this a little bit. They are Ak and Barak, again, the co-hosts of the DAZN Box Show. So which one of you wants to address kind of why you guys have this masochistic tendency to desire getting punched in the chest? I saw the Canelo one, and then this week you guys were in Katie Taylor's gym, hanging out with her, letting her wail away on you. So one of you like to address this?
Well, I've been doing this for years. You know, I've been getting hit by boxing for years. And when you get into the shape that I'm in, Chris, you'll understand. You know what I'm saying?
That's not going
to
happen.
I got beaten by my father so much. I'm like used to it. I'm a masochist. I just like it.
Yeah, I'm not looking to do that. Look, people know this about me. I went 3 rounds with Juan Manuel Marquez about 10 years ago. I never want to do that again. Ever. I'm good.
Wow. That's pretty good, though. 3 rounds. That's not bad.
Yeah,
I wish I would have seen that.
He gave me a body shot that I think still hurts this day. Like, there's still, like, a minor bruise on my liver.
Did you have a newfound respect for Marquez after that?
Oh, yeah. What was funny, and people that listen to this show have heard this story before, but what was funny was we did it down at Church Street Boxing down in New York, downtown Manhattan, and, like, I was there and had a couple of guys from the gym training me for the previous 6 months. And Marquez walks in, and he was doing it for the PR. At that point, I think he was the 126-pound title holder. And he walks in, not just with, like, you know, a friend. He walks in with Nacho Beristain, like he needs him. He walks in with a cut man, like he needs that. And he walks in with, like, members of the Golden Boy promotional team, like any of that matters. So it's like, immediately I was intimidated. I was, like, freaked out of my mind.
He must have forgot who he was sparring.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he saw my size.
The question is... Oh, yeah, right. You're so tall. But the question is, did he have a cup of piss with him?
No, he did not. And that came out years later. That was before he did the 24/7 where he was drinking his own urine. Anyway, appreciate you guys joining me here. And there's a few topics I want to jump into with you off the last week. And right at the top, I want to talk about Anthony Joshua, who has completed his search for a new head trainer. Angel Fernandez, who has been a member of Team Joshua over the last 3 years, coming on in the aftermath of the 2019 loss, Danny Ruiz. He has been elevated to the head trainer position. So Joshua doesn't really add a new voice, but does shake up the top of his training team, replacing Rob McCracken with Angel Fernandez. Ak, I'll start with you. What do you make of this? Is this the right move by Joshua? Are you surprised he didn't go completely outside of his circle to make a move?
Well, first off, I don't think it's a big move because Fernandez has been part of his camp for the last 3 years. I mean, a lot of times you might have a head trainer in the ring giving instructions, but a lot of work is done in the gym. And to my understanding, Fernandez has been a big part of his camp. So maybe on the surface it looks different, but in reality, it's not really shaking up that much. It would be like Bomack and Red and that whole Terrence Crawford team. One of those guys is the one that starts to give instructions to Bud Crawford. It's not a big deal. I think that maybe he made his rounds and realized that, listen, I'm comfortable with my team. These guys are not teaching me something out of this world that I haven't seen before. So why make this big move? I think that we're not going to see much of, I mean, I'm not saying we won't see a better Joshua in the rematch, but I don't think anything is shaking up that much.
Yeah, I don't really think it's he's thinking like that. I don't think he's saying, oh, these guys are not teaching me something that I haven't learned before. Because I think if you go to a different coach, you're going to always learn something new, straight up and down. And they're probably going to do it the first day. That's what coaches do, you know, to dazzle you, to be like, oh, wow, you know, to get you thinking. I think it's just what it boils down to is that he's loyal. He's very loyal. And since Fernandez was already in the camp, that's who he went with. And I don't know how we could really make an assessment when we don't even know what Angel really can provide to Joshua, except that support that, you know, mentally, you know, now we do see what he's did with Isaac Chamberlain, you know, yeah, after that loss to Okoli, he's turned him into a better fighter, but we don't know what he can do with Joshua. So I can't.
But why
really
you say what he can do with him? But the reality is he's been there. So it's not like if AJ was doing something wrong, it's not like him and McCracken don't have a relationship where he can implement whatever he feels AJ needs to do. So where's the real change going to be if he's already infused into that camp?
Yeah, sometimes it's like you're the second guy in that you know, camp in the corner, and you're trying to say something totally different, or maybe you see something different, or maybe there's times when he spoke to Joshua on the side and like, I needed you to do this. I think you should have did this. I think you should have applied more pressure. And maybe Anthony Joshua is realizing that and saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to put you.
You think he's going to get a raise?
Of course he is.
You better get a big cut of that pie. Here's why I understand the move from Joshua's perspective. Any new trainer worth his salt is going to say, look, I need at least two warm-up type fights with you to get you adjusted to me, to get me adjusted to you. Joshua, at least as he was making this decision, did not have that luxury. He was going straight into the rematch with Alexander Usyk. So if I'm Joshua, and he spent a lot of time, as you guys know, visiting with Eddie Reynoso, with Robert Garcia, with all the top trainers over in the U.S. If I'm Joshua, as much as I might have liked what I was hearing from the U.S.-based trainers, a lot of it might have been new. And I don't know if after taking the kind of beating that he took against Alexander Usyk, I don't know if he necessarily wanted to learn something entirely new going into a fight of that magnitude. What I worry about is kind of what you guys are saying. Like, Fernandez, what I know about him, you mentioned Chamberlain, Barack. I also know this guy has worked under a lot of Cuban coaches. And I don't know if I want to see Joshua going up against Usyk with a Cuban style of boxing. Like, I want to see Anthony Joshua using brute force. I want to see him taking the fight to Usyk and trying to just knock his head off. I don't want to see him boxing him from the outside, relying on footwork. That's not going to work against Alexander Usyk. He's too good to beat that way. So the history of what we know of Fernandez, that's what worries me.
No, you're right. I agree with you.
And I have to admit that that was my first thought too. When I saw it was Fernandez, I was like, okay, I thought of Salas. And I said, okay. And then you hear, that's that Cuban style. And then you hear him say, well, you know, I like to focus on technical work, balance, footwork, stuff like that, angles. And all of that is cool. But when you think about what Eddie Reynoso said, I think Joshua can beat him right now. Joshua could beat Usyk right now. He just has to play that part that he is. He's a big man. Mm-hmm. The same thing you did against guys like White, that's what he needs to do. Pressure him, you know, and so it's really already inside Joshua. I believe a trainer just has to bring him out.
I agree with you, Barack. I mean, I don't think he needs to learn so much. Look, he's the type of guy that is a thinker. So he wants to get better every fight, every training camp. It's just who he is as a fighter. But sometimes I think somebody has to remind him, listen, you just need to be, to your point, Barack, the Dillian White guy, the guy that fought Molina, the guy that is a truck, a tank that's going to withstand whatever Usyk has and just be a bigger man. So in reality, he needs to be an old AJ. And if you learn something on the way with a new trainer, fine. But AJ needs to be himself. And I think that would give him the best chance against Usyk.
You know, we're all hoping for the best when it comes to Alexander Usyk and what's going on in the Ukraine. If he can't fight on the timetable that Joshua and Eddie Hearn have kind of mapped out in their minds, that might turn out to be, professionally speaking, good for Anthony Joshua to get a warm-up fight against someone that vaguely resembles Alexander Usyk. There's nobody that actually does. I mean, he's an Olympic gold medalist, you know, a pound-for-pound type of guy. But, like, a name that jumps to mind is, like, Eddie Chambers or something like that. Not Eddie Chambers because he's long since done. But, like, somebody that's, like, a 6'2", 6'3", boxer puncher that you can kind of work out some of the stuff with your new trainer. That might make some sense for Joshua to... Yeah, well, no, that's he too tall, right? Like, he's like, that's more like prepare for Fury kind of thing. Like, I want to see, I don't know who fits that criteria in today's heavyweight division. And that's also not a serious threat. That's the other thing, too. You don't want to be taking on somebody that might beat you. So,
you know what I say? I say he go with Joe Joyce. You know why? Because I don't think he should try to prepare for Usyk right now. I say go with somebody who you can possibly get the win. It'd be ugly. And it gives you more confidence. And if Joshua's already saying, hey, I boxed Joe Joyce years ago and I stopped him in the first round, I'll do the same thing again. We need that Joshua to come into the ring again fighting Usyk. And I think that Joshua will perform better against Usyk, whether you're training for that particular style now or not.
That's a good point. And it's a really fun fight. And it's a really lucrative domestic fight. I mean, whatever Joshua and Usyk did back in the day, Joyce is tough to knock out, man. Not in today's game. Like, that guy, you better be in shape when you take on Joe Joyce, and you better be ready to have sore hands when you take on Joe Joyce.
He has a head of steel.
It's a brick that's up there. And he throws bombs,
too. I think some of his offense is his face, because he can take any shot. You know, he could take any shot and give it back. But then again, it's Joshua. Yeah,
but as long as, you know, as long as that rematch clause is protected, where Usyk cannot fight anybody else before fighting Joshua, yeah, then I would take that chance to fight somebody else. But if it sails away, that's going to be a problem. He needs to get a shot at getting all those straps back.
Yeah, no question about that. All right. As people that have listened to this podcast know, I am talking to the president and vice president of the Gervonta Davis fan club here. I'm not sure which one is which, Ak or Barack. Gervonta Davis is back on May 28th. He's going to take on Rolly Romero. That's a rescheduled fight that was scrapped after Romero was accused of sexual assault late last year. We can talk about Romero and what kind of fight that is. But my question for you guys, as it always is this the year that we see now 27-year-old Gervonta Davis in a significant fight? And by significant fight, I mean Ryan Garcia. I mean Devin Haney. I mean Vasily Lomachenko. If he wants to go up, George Kambos as well. Don't discount him because he has all the belts at 135. If Gervonta wants to go up to 140, any of those big dogs at 140 pounds. Do you guys have confidence, and can you say with confidence that this is the year that that happens?
I would say yes. First off, we have to understand that a lot of guys are busy right now. We all know Ryan Garcia is fighting on the 9th. We all know we have Devin Haney trying to secure the Kambosos fight. Lomachenko is in the mix as well. So it's not like he has a tons of options right now. And I think the Romero fight is a good stay busy fight, even though Rolly doesn't have a shot in the world to beat Tank Davis. I don't care how.
It's different. I'll give it to you. It's different. I feel differently about this fight now than I did last year. Last year, at the time they booked the fight, everybody was available. Ryan was available. Teofimo kind of available because of all the things going on with that Kambosos fight. Haney was available, tweeting about it. Now those guys are not available, at least on this timetable.
So it makes sense. You're okay with that fight. And obviously that fight, you know, a lot of social media action going on. I think it's a fight that people are going to watch. And I think he should knock Rolly out within 6 rounds. It's my opinion, which people like to see that. Regardless of who you're fighting, if you're a draw, we know he's a draw. A knockout victory, I think it's going to serve him well. But I do, to answer your question, I do think that at 135 pounds, Gervonta will fight a big name this year. He's already said he wants to, you know, he'll fight Kambosos or any of those guys. I know it's just talk, but I think sometime in the fourth quarter, we're going to see a huge Gervonta Davis fight against one of the names you're comfortable with. I'm predicting it now.
Well, yeah, I don't, to answer your question, Chris, no, I'm not confident because there's no evidence. There's no evidence that leads us to.
I'm just guessing.
Ox prediction just came out of nowhere. Like, that's just a prediction. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's a psychic prediction, but there's no evidence that leads to that. When your promoter says, hey, we're going to look for fights that are in-house, then where do you go from there? And it's funny because when he said that, Rolly was not somebody that anybody wanted to see fight Gervonta Davis. It took time of Rolly to talk his way into us accepting that, because now it's that Jake Paul syndrome. We want to see somebody fight him. We want to see somebody hurt him because he's talking a lot. You know what I mean? So it's like, we never expected that to happen, and now it's happening. So there's no evidence to say otherwise. Do we want to see that? Yes. Even guys like me who have him on a pound for pound list because of what he can do and what I see, I'm going to get tired and say, all right, now this is it. You're going to have to slowly slide down off that list if you're not fighting somebody worthy of a challenge by somebody with your greatness.
I echo that, yeah, Barack. And,
yeah, so this year, because of some of the things that have happened the last few months, the in-house potential challenges for Gervonta have dwindled, right? Like, if Chris Colbert had fought Roger Gutierrez and beaten Gutierrez, I would have 100% pegged Chris Colbert as someone that would have been a candidate to face Gervonta Davis at 135 pounds.
Good point.
If Gary Russell Jr. had beaten Mark Magsayo, and if Russell had not been injured, and if he had been serious for the first time, like, ever in fighting more than once per year, that would have been a marketable fight for Gervonta Davis. But in-house, in the PBC universe, as I look around, there's nothing there. Like, not almost nothing. There's, like, really nothing that's marketable. You know, you're not going to do an Esau Cruz rematch. Like, you're not going to do any of
No, but you know what? I was thinking about that today. I was like, why not do an Esau Cruz rematch?
It wasn't that great a fight. It was a controversial ending, but it wasn't a great fight. Like, you know.
But if you think that you're somebody that could have stopped him, and if you didn't hurt your hand in the 10th round, maybe that's something you might want to see.
Yeah, I would say this, though. Like, I don't know what the official number of pay-per-view buys was. I don't believe what I read on the internet, just like I don't believe what people say from a promoter's perspective, but it did not do well. There's no question about that. Oh. Otherwise, there would have been victory laps being taken about the numbers Gervonta Davis did. So, like, given that, I don't see this groundswell of support to see that rematch. The only name that makes any sense is Ryan Garcia. And we know they've had at least preliminary discussions about a deal like this before. I know DAZN believes that their entry into pay-per-view gives them the kind of framework to do a co-promotional pay-per-view with Showtime or Fox, whoever it is that Gervonta works with at that given time. So I feel like Ryan's side, if he gets through Emmanuel Tego on April 9th, and Golden Boy and DAZN are going to try to make that deal. I just don't know if I believe that Gervonta's side is going to be willing to do it, to cede the kind of money they'd have to cede from a Showtime perspective, and money that Ryan Garcia is going to have to be paid. I just don't know that they're going to be willing to do it. So I'm with Barack on this one. I don't have any confidence that this is the year that we get, you know, Gervonta in that signature fight.
Well, that's when I'll give up on this Gervonta Davis train. I'll hop off of it. If in 2022 it doesn't happen with a big name, then I'll wave the white flag.
Oh, wait, just to be clarified, Barack, where is Gervonta on your pound-for-pound list?
Oh, man, I haven't looked at it. I haven't revamped it since these late losses and wins recently, but he's around 10 or number 9.
Okay. Yeah. That's absurd, but we'll, you know.
He's at my number 10.
Oh, please.
He's at 9 or 10. What are you guys talking about? 9 or 10?
You probably have Tyson Fury on yours.
I do have Tyson Fury on my list. Tyson Fury.
And he beat Deontay Wilder.
One person.
Before that, Vladimir Klitschko.
That's 100 years ago.
7 years ago.
Come on.
So what? You two sit there and bring up Jose Pedraza from 7 years ago as a quality win for Gervonta.
And you say that's a good win. You said that's a good win.
Okay.
I'm saying
it's a good win like Klitschko is.
All right. So if you can use Klitschko, we can use
Klitschko, by the way, Klitschko better than Pedraza. Better than Vladimir Klitschko, better than Pedraza.
Because you discredit Leo Santa Cruz, that doesn't mean he isn't who he is. He is a four-division champ, so it doesn't matter. Like, oh, let's just say technically three-division champ. He is who he is no matter what. Beat Carl Frampton, beat a lot of guys. So
let's not undermine the win.
A beautiful
let's not
win.
Undermine
wait,
him
wait,
going up
way
the
out of Leo. I don't discredit Leo.
Pounds. And beat him, Mario Barrios. Regardless of who you think
Mario
he is,
Barrios. Keith stop Thurman with couldn't Mario get out Barrios. Of here. Last scene getting his nose twisted in half by Keith Thurman. Like, come on. Like,
but he couldn't get him out of it.
By a welterweight. This guy's
all right, but Mario Barrios also. Mario Barrios also. Mario Barrios also lost the fight before that to Beck. What's his name? I'm blanking the.
No, we got you on that. Yeah. And you're right. But guess what? He wasn't stopped by anybody except Davis. Davis is special, and we can see that.
I can't see that. you
can see. Okay. Would anybody else? Would any other 135 pounder move up and beat Barrios?
Yes, all of them.
Who?
Every one of them.
Stop it!
Come on.
You think Devin Haney doesn't beat Mario Barrios?
All right, who are you picking up?
They're not going to go up and fight him. That's too much of a risk.
The only reason you guys know this, you're around Devin a lot. The only reason Devin stays at 135 is to figure out a way to get his hand on that big fight in that division, because he kills himself every time to make that weight. In the next 6 to 8 months, he is gone. If he fights Kambosos, and he'll probably fight him twice, but once that's over with, he is gone to 140. There's no doubt about that. He's in Teofimo territory and trying to shrink himself down.
Yeah, but see, he's bigger than Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis is a very small guy. He's a 130-pound guy. And he went up
to 140.
He's
not,
he's not really a 135-pound. Not really 135-pound
fighter. Chris,
who
wins the fight? If they do make the Ryan Garcia fight, Gervonta Davis, and they figure out a way how to co-promote this pay-per-view, who wins that fight?
Great fight. Both these guys, I don't know. Like, I lean towards Ryan only because Ryan, I think, has proven. Like, we talked about Gervonta struggling to fight a smaller fighter than Esau Cruz There might be nobody better at fighting smaller fighters than Ryan Garcia. Like, Ryan has kind of mastered how to hit these guys because he's always taller than them. And that left hook from hell that he throws with the kind of speed that we don't see from anyone outside of Canelo, I think eventually he'd land that on Gervonta in the same way that he landed a big shot on Luke Campbell. So I'm not discounting Gervonta. I think he can definitely win that fight because Ryan, I think, can be a little bit chinny too. Not great with the footwork. A lot of reasons, but it's a great fight.
No, it's no a hell of a fight. And yes, I think that Ryan does have a good shot because of Gervonta's southpaw stance to land that check left hook. And I think he's a dangerous fighter. You know, Ryan has speed and power. So does Gervonta. That's what makes this an explosive fight and one of the biggest fights in all of boxing. Regardless who has titles, we both know that.
Yeah, but I just disagree. I just don't think that Gervonta Davis struggled with Isaac Cruz. I think he beat him handily.
About? He did not beat him handily.
He hurt his hand in the 10th round. And yes, he lost 10th and 11th round. But 12th round, he outboxed him with one hand, did not throw that left hand.
Isaac Cruz is very smaller than Gervonta. So it's two different fights.
Hey, also the hand injury. I haven't heard of any surgery. I haven't heard of any
You don't have to break your hand. You don't have to need surgery to hurt your hand.
Okay, but
Barack,
I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But lots of guys hurt their hands in the middle of fights. Like
Yeah, but when it's that bad and you don't throw it, he did not throw it in the 11th and 12th round.
But a lot of that is because Isak Cruz was in his chest the entire time. Like, and you know, made it uncomfortable for him. That was a close fight. Like, whether you thought he won or not, that was a close fight. So.
Wait. People really thought that Isak Cruz beat Gervonta Davis that night?
I had it as a draw.
Well, we all know your scorecard, the twist.
No. So I was watching that fight in Vegas. We did, I think, the Devin Haney fight before that, right? Like the day before. And I was in Vegas with Sergio, and I had him score. I wasn't even scoring. I was having him score it, and he had it a draw as well.
That's after like five tequila shots, I bet. So
Sergio can't do tequila. He's the only Mexican I know that can't do tequila. It's like
it was only close because of the hurt hand.
Maybe.
And listen, I think Isak Cruz will give anybody trouble, and maybe he's just somebody that can't get knocked out.
Look, Barrios is giving him trouble before he got knocked out. You had Floyd running up to the ring going, like, you might be down. Like, they're saying on the broadcast, you're down. So he's had trouble with a few guys, you know, before he's, you know, summoned that, you know, one-stop power, one-hit, one-punch power right there. So.
Well, you're giving Ryan credit, and I give Ryan credit too, but he got dropped with Luke Campbell.
He
came back and dropped him. So let's give him the same – let's give Gervonta Davis the same credit we give Ryan Garcia for getting hurt or getting outboxed maybe and then winning by knockout.
Yeah, I would say, though, I think the Luke Campbell win is better than anything Gervonta's got in his resume. I think Luke Campbell –
better than the Pedraza fight?
Yes.
Pedraza was undefeated.
And he was a world champion.
I'm all about undefeated. It's fine. Undefeated, whatever. But like Luke Campbell, like his losses came at like the highest of levels. Like you go in with Lomachenko and you battle for, you know, the entirety of that fight. You go in with Linares and you get knocked down, but you battle back and almost beat a prime Linares at that time. I never get too worked up one way or the other, but undefeated.
I'll tell you what, I'll give Gervonta the edge against Luke Campbell as well. I see a knockout victory as well in that fight.
But like, do you think Gervonta could summon that type of body shot power? Like that's Luke Campbell to get knocked down with a headshot. He got knocked down with a body shot. That was just savage.
Look, yeah, that's not his style. That's not his style.
You're right.
I think both guys can knock each other out. That's it. That's why
I'm already loving this. Like the middle, like the only part of this podcast is going to get aggravated. Is this part right here, because people accuse me of being a Gervonta hater and it always winds up on social media. But I love doing this with you guys because it always winds up in a shouting match of some kind. All right, let's keep it in that PBC universe, sort of. Jermell Charlo, the unified 154-pound champion, he went on a podcast with my friend Brian Custer, and he just went after Terrence Crawford. I know that Charlo and Errol Spence are stablemates with Derek James, but Charlo went out there and basically said, Crawford, shut your mouth, take a little bit less money, take on Errol Spence. I mean, Charlo doesn't do a ton of interviews, Barack, but I was kind of surprised at how aggressive he was coming after Terrence Crawford. So I'll put it to you this way. What did you make of those comments? And is Charlo versus Crawford suddenly a pretty appealing fight?
First of all, I wasn't surprised at all because Jermell Charlo does everything aggressive. You know, I've never seen him not aggressive. You know what I mean? So that was something I figured would happen. That was something I figured he'd say. And plus, like you said, he's the stablemate of Errol Spence with Derek James. So that's a friend defending his friend, even if it wasn't true in his mind that he thinks Errol can beat Bud. But I don't necessarily like this fight. Now, on one hand, yes, it's beautiful. You got the guy who's at 147. He's frustrated. He's one of the best fighters in the world, Terrence Crawford. Moving up shows greatness. Beautiful. And it's Jermell Charlo's chance to fight somebody who's great, an all-time great like Terrence Crawford. But is a built-in excuse. And that's what I don't like with fights. There's a built-in excuse. And not by the fighters. I'm talking about by the fans. If Bud was to lose, I don't like that because you're fighting a bigger guy. I want to see the fight that everybody wants to see, and there's no reason we shouldn't see it. And that's Bud and Spence. So I don't want to entertain
that.
Yeah,
and as far as the whole, take less money and some of the things that Jermell said, that's just talk. I mean, Bud has earned the right to get what he feels he needs for that fight. He obviously detached himself from Bob Arum in Top Rank, so hopefully that makes this process easier. But Barack,
doesn't sound like it's making it easier at all.
No, you're right. But I mean, there's still time. We're early in the year. It's only March, right? But as far as that built-in excuse, Barack, touching on what you were saying, it doesn't mean like that people wouldn't want to watch that fight or that Bud doesn't have a shot to win it. You can't base your decision on that. If that fight can be made, I think it's a dangerous fight for Bud. I think his skill level will kind of even it up because he's so great in the ring at making adjustments. But if he doesn't get the Arrow fight,
I don't know why you just started yelling.
No, because I started feeling the frustration of all the fight fans in the world. Like, why the hell is this fight
summoned that
not
frustration
happening? Why? Look, Errol doesn't have an easy task in front of him in Ugas. People think that, this is going to be a breeze. Yeah. I've had a lot of conversations, and some people feel that Ugas is going to win this fight. He's going to surprise people. I don't agree with that. I think Errol is just great, and I think he will get past Ugas. But I think after this fight, honestly, Thurman obviously doesn't have a strap. I mean, the only other guy is Bud Crawford. I think that Errol is going to have some pressure on him if he gets past Ugas, some serious pressure. He's going to have to answer some questions, and so is Al Haymon, whoever the hell is in charge, if he doesn't fight Terrence Crawford. I think that after this win, we're going to see the truth.
Let me tell you my theory on Spence Crawford. I have given up all hope of seeing that fight at 147 pounds. I don't believe that fight's going to happen at welterweight because if Spence gets by Ugas, and I agree with you guys, that's a really tough fight. Ugas is a very tough fighter. But if Spence gets by Ugas, he's going to have some mandatory issues. Like, he's going to have to face some guys that he doesn't necessarily want to face in less lucrative fights to keep his belts. The Crawford versus Jermell Charlo fight feels to me like it's more makeable at this point than Crawford against Errol Spence. Jermell Charlo is going to take on Brian Castaño in a fantastic fight for the undisputed title at 154, and he's going to do it on regular Showtime. Now, I don't know what the purses are for that fight, but if Showtime can afford it, that tells me that Charlo's contractual demands are not going to be otherworldly, like that he's going to be in a financial ballpark that might make a pay-per-view with Crawford more manageable to make. Crawford has made noises about going to 154 before. We both know that if Patrick Teixeira had beaten Castaño, we likely would have seen Crawford against Teixeira, a year plus ago? Time is a flat circle. I have no idea what is going on that. But we would have seen that fight already. So my theory is that Charlo beats Castaño. He's probably going to have to drop at least one of those belts, maybe two. But before the end of the year, we get Charlo versus Crawford for two versions of the 154-pound title. And then Spence, who's a big guy anyway, will move up and wait. And if Crawford beats Charlo, that's when we see Crawford versus Spence.
That's not a bad scenario there. I mean, Errol is a huge guy. I mean, I know eventually he's going to be at 154. And I think it doesn't matter that it would be at 154. I don't think it takes anything away from the fight. I don't think people care about the weight class that happens. As long as it happens.
Nobody cares about junior middleweight versus welterweight. As long as that fight happens. But once I started to hear Charlo start to talk a little bit, that's when I kind of bought in on all that. One thing I wanted to get to with you guys. So when Amir Khan got smashed by Kell Brook, we all thought that was the end of Amir Khan's career. Like, Khan, nice career. Early was really good. Latter part, not so much. But he finally got that big domestic fight. Why would he ever want to do a fight against Kell Brook again? Seems like, according to some reporting, that Khan is looking to exercise his rematch clause against Kell Brook. Barack, are you buying Amir Khan?
Oh, I woke up. Oh,
all right, wake up. All right, well, first of all, I thought I saw the end of Amir Khan's career years ago, even before he fought Billy Dib. And even if Amir Khan would have won, I would have still not expected him to go on. You know, I just wouldn't have expected him to go on. Now, to even think that we should expect the fans to pay again to see this after that one-sided, I don't care if you say your jet lag, your foot hurt, I don't care what excuse, there is no excuse for us to see that again. I think that'd just be another easy payday for Brooke, and it's just not worth it. I don't know, it can't be on pay-per-view. Yeah.
I mean, I blame
if they're gonna do that again.
I blame Khan's inner circle, and not telling him no. Well, then again, everybody stands to gain something there. It's another payday. Everybody gets a check at the end of the fight. So maybe that's what it is. I mean, Amir doesn't need the money. There's no way in hell this fight should ever happen. This should be the end of the road, and everybody around Amir Khan should just scream at him and say, no, it's over. Hang him up. That's it. I don't want to.
I think they probably are. You know, I think beforehand, Bo Mack and Bud and all of these guys doing interviews, they really saw something in Amir Khan. And you know why? Because Amir Khan is super talented, fast. He's agile. You know, he punches hard. He's a great talent. It's just you're training with headgear on. Yeah. You know, you're training with protection on. You're training with 16-ounce gloves. And then when you put on the 10s, you take off the headgear. You get hurt with a jab.
Yeah, and I don't know what
can't train.
I don't know what Kell Brook rehydrated to, but you could see in the ring he was the bigger guy, and like an in shape Kell Brook, which he was, and a motivated Kell Brook is just better than Amir Khan at this point. I mean, Kell Brook's been the guy chasing Amir Khan for more than a decade now. Like, I think it was 2005 when Kell Brook started talking about Amir Khan. He wanted that fight, whereas Amir Khan wanted the money that came from that fight. But I don't think he wanted that fight on the same level that Kell Brook did. So I hope somebody talks some sense into him. I saw Amir posting with like a new Lamborghini, so it's not like he needs some money necessarily.
Exactly.
Like, so, you know, take that and go back home. Real quick, you guys, I mean, saw...
if we look at the careers, though, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
But we look at their careers, think back, you know, if you look at Brooks lost the Triple G, he was doing all right in that fight. Errol Spence, he was doing all right in that fight. He was supposed to lose the Triple G. You know, he beat Sean Porter in his prime. Back then, if you look at the two, who had less holes? Brooke. Yeah. So Brooke was probably always the more solid fighter and should have been given the edge anyway.
Sure.
Especially when, I mean, those years that Khan spent chasing Mayweather and Pacquiao was lost years for him.
Yeah.
He should have been fighting.
Lost.
Like, fight with Brooke, rematch, maybe a trilogy.
Timothy Bradley back
then. Just chasing
absolutely.
These guys around.
Like, I mean, I still think Amir had a better shot back then when he was you know, a little hole. Even as good as Brooke was, his speed was blinding. So I think he would have had a better shot back then.
I mean, I've always believed, not to say that Khan would have beaten Mayweather, but one of the reasons Mayweather didn't want to fight him was that hand speed is tricky. Like, you know, Mayweather didn't fight a ton of guys with that kind of hand speed throughout his career.
Zab
Judah had it, no question.
And he was very effective with Floyd against that fight early in the fight.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
obviously.
You know, like,
a couple of rounds. Yeah, he had three rounds
four.
He won.
Yeah.
I say four.
Like, no, one, two, and four. He lost third round. Come on, you know I study Floyd.
Yeah, no, look, Floyd beats virtually everybody at that point. But I think, like, you know, the brawlers are more kind of his style, like whether it was Robert Guerrero or Marcos Maidana a couple of times. Like, he has ways to beat them handily, whereas these hand-speed guys are tricky. They can rack up some points pretty quickly. Before I let you guys go, I was just looking through my alerts here. I see Eddie Hearn says that Anthony Joshua, if he does do an interim fight, which you talked about at the top of the show, prefers Deontay Wilder to be his interim fight. Are we ready? Is it finally time for AJ against Wilder, the long-awaited heavyweight showdown?
Why not? Why not?
I don't know. We heard Hearn say that. We didn't hear Joshua say that.
I mean, you know this, Brock.
And
Eddie does not
even know.
Eddie will not say something about Anthony Joshua that Joshua didn't say.
Absolutely.
He's very
not.
Careful about what he says about AJ.
I agree.
Oh, you guys!
I agree.
You guys
I think
are lying.
If Eddie said
you guys are lying.
If Eddie said it, Joshua must have had a conversation with him. That's how I feel. I agree with Chris.
I don't know about that. But regardless of the fact, nobody even knows what Deontay Wilder's going to do.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's going to go smoke some just, whatever and, you know, whatever he's going to do to get his mind right. I don't know what that is. I don't know anything about it. But, like, it's, you know, whatever process
that's
is going to go through.
That's a hallucinogenic type thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, whatever he's going to do to get
Ock knows. Ock is. That's how he made his prediction earlier.
Let me tell you this, though. Like. I first of all, I love it. Like, sign me up for Joshua Wilder any day of the week. Bombs away with both those two guys, even if they're diminished at this point. That's the perfect fight to me for Joshua to come back to the U.S. Because Wilder Joshua would be big in the U.K. It always is. But Wilder versus Joshua in Vegas or New York would be massive. And until AJ erases the stench of his debut in the U.S. at the Garden, we get knocked out by Andy Ruiz, that's going to kind of linger with him because all the top fighters, especially heavyweights, have made their way to the U.S. Most of them have had success in the U.S.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So you do Joshua versus Wilder at one of those venues. Go to Southern California, even SoFi Stadium. That's becoming, I think, is going to become a hotspot for boxing in the years to come. That is a major and lucrative event.
Absolutely. Biggest fight in heavyweight division. Yeah. Biggest fight in heavyweight division right now.
No question about it. All right, fellas, always good to catch up with you. You can catch Ock and Barack every weekday over at the DAZN. the DAZN Boxing Show a terrific watch every single day. Next time, I'm sure we'll do it after the Davis Romero fight, guys, when I want to just stretch my arms and yell a little bit more.
Next time we're going to bring Javonte on and surprise you.
Okay. No, I don't think they're going to let that happen.
Thanks, yo. Likewise, as always.
When we come back, my conversation with Tyson Fury.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them, with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Fight fans, throw your best haymaker with a risk-free first bet from FanDuel Sportsbook. Even if your fighter gets knocked out or tapped out, new customers get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code BOXING and you'll be able to bet on all the biggest boxing matches and UFC fights. FanDuel offers all your favorite bets. Choose from the money line, to the method of victory, to which round the fight will end, and so much more. You can even parlay different fight bets together. The bigger your parlay, the bigger your potential payout becomes. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. To place your first bet risk-free, that's right, risk-free, sign up with the promo code BOXING and make every fight night mean more with the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
So no Dillian White press conference. I'm sure you've been asked a lot about that, but do you have an issue with it? Do you have a problem with it? How do you feel about it?
You know, no Mr. White, but we have Mr. Fury, the capital of sports entertainment himself. The Gypsy King is here live and exclusive in the building in Wembley, ready to put on a show. We don't need an opponent. Any opponent will do. It's not about the opponent. It's the Tyson Fury Roadshow, and it continues to London, United Kingdom.
Do you think, Tyson, his absence is about money or about trying to get inside your head a little bit?
I have no clue or no concern. It doesn't really matter to me. The outcome's going to be the same. I'm going to cheer it up.
You and Dillian have been kind of on the British boxing scene for a long time. Are you surprised it's kind of taken this long for you two to face each other?
No, he's been on the climb of the boxing ranks for a long time. I've been a world champion for a long time. So I'm sure I've been someone he's been wanting to fight for a long time. And he's finally getting his opportunity. You know, we've all been running scared from Dillian White over the years, me and Wilder and everybody else in the division. You know, the body snatcher. We've all been running scared. And, you know, he's finally backed me into a corner with all his mind games. And now I have to fight. Put up or shut up.
You know, you're getting it back in the ring in a month or so. But take me back first to after you beat Deontay Wilder, three big-time fights against the biggest puncher in heavyweight boxing. In the weeks after that, was there any part of you that kind of thought, like, maybe that's enough? Maybe I've accomplished enough in boxing and I'm done with it.
Yeah, plenty of times I thought of that. I think about that now. Maybe I've had enough. Maybe I've done enough in boxing. You know, maybe one more fight. I still got one more fight left in me. I'm not 34 yet, so 34 this year. We're at the capital of British boxing in this country, Wembley Stadium, against a mandatory opposition of the WBC challenger, number one ranked contender. Another defense of my belt. Live in America, live in the UK. You know, does it get much bigger than that? 103,000 at Wembley, I'm told. 103,000. That takes us back to the days of Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney, those type of gates. And very rare in today's boxing. So privileged that I'm a part of something so big. And do I continue? Who knows? Have I done enough? Hell yeah, I've done enough. Do I continue have another fight against Francis Ngannou? Maybe. You know, we've got one fight at a time, beat Dillon White, and then who knows what's happening there. I may hit up my brother, The Rock, and star in a Hollywood movie, or I might do a Netflix TV documentary. I might become a singer. Who knows? Las Vegas, baby, you know. I might become a performing Las Vegas show. Who knows? The opportunities are endless, but I concentrate on the now, and the now is I have a world title defense in my home country. I'm at the biggest stadium in the United Kingdom, which I'm looking forward to. It's been a long time. You ever heard of a band called Thin Lizzy?
I have. I love that band.
And they sing,
Boys are back in town. There you go.
So yeah, the boys are back in town, 4 years away. Just a small old shows like MGM, Las Vegas, Grand Arena, Staples Center, T-Mobile Arena, just small venues. Ah. MGM Grand. So now I'm back at the UK, big stadium, and I've been on the road a while, and I'm really happy to be home and putting on a show. Going to put on a big show. It's going to be a good fight as long as it lasts. And Dillon White's a good puncher. He knocked out plenty of opponents. He's game. He's tough. He's big. He's strong. He's rugged, and he'll come for a fight. And when he comes for a fight, I'll meet him head on in the ring, and we'll let our heavy artillery go. And whoever lands better and crisper and cleaner will win the fight by knockout. I don't see the fight going long distance. I don't see it. I think there's too many people there, too big of an occasion. I think we're going to get stuck right in.
If you were going to star in a movie with The Rock, what kind of movie would it be?
Good question. Could be a boxing movie. It could be an action movie. Probably an action movie for sure. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even like a comedy.
So a little bit of everything.
Family comedy, I think. That'd be the best.
he's done a few of them.
Oh, we could do another remake of Twins.
So Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Would he have to be Danny DeVito's character?
Yeah, for sure.
You're the only one that could make The Rock look like Danny DeVito in that case. You seem very interested. You mentioned Francis Ngannou, the UFC champion. You seem very interested in making that fight happen at some point in your career. Why is that?
It's a big fight, big crossover fight between MMA and boxing. He's a champion, I'm a champion. I think it's an epic battle. I think a lot of people will be interested and want to watch that fight. The fight would be in Las Vegas at the Raiders Stadium. That'd be an amazing event to end a career. It'd be absolutely fantastic. Be the icing on the cake of a very successful, long boxing career.
How do you make a fight like that really compelling, though, Tyson? Because every time a MMA fighter gets in the ring with a boxer, they get worked over pretty good, for the most part, 90-something percent of the time. How do you make that fight compelling to fans?
The compelling thing is Francis Ngannou is the biggest punching athlete on the planet. And if he hits you, he'll knock you out cold, as we've seen. He's the guy's, 6'5" and 260-70 pounds. He's a monster of a guy. And if he lands one punch clean, it's over. But I say we do it with a twist, Las Vegas style. We do it in 4-ounce gloves, in a cage.
I mean, that would be dangerous for you. That would make it more dangerous for you.
And it'd be dangerous for him. Because I knock people out in 10-ounce gloves. Mm-hmm. So imagine if I hit him with 4-ounce gloves on.
Mm-hmm. That would certainly level the playing field a little bit. No doubt about that. Frank Warren, your promoter, going back to this fight against Dillian White, he says he wants no British judges for this fight. Of course, this is a reaction to what happened between Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. What's your feeling on the judging right now, fixing judging, and what kind of judges you need for your fight?
You know, I second what Frank Warren said. We don't want no British judges on this fight. As for the fight in the weekend, it's not for me to say who won or what I think. I know both guys, they did well. They did what the best they could. But let's just say we don't want any British fight judges. We want neutral guys and experienced guys who are going to be fair, because we don't want no gift decisions. I don't want a gift decision. And I know Dillian White don't want no gift decisions. So whoever wins this fight will win it fair and square. We don't want controversy. We just want clean cut in and out. Whether he knocks me out or I knock him out, I want it to be a fair fight, and a fair fight is what it will be. We have to train hard as fighters. We dedicate and sacrifice our whole lives, and we put it all on the line every time we enter the ring. We could come out of that ring with brain damage or anything, maybe not even come out of the ring. So to fight all your life and then for some idiot to make a decision that's wrong or right, in his opinion, who ain't in there fighting, to end it all for you and spoil your career and your life, it's just not fair. So something needs to be done about the judging of these fights. And so I don't know, maybe come up with a different way of doing it all. I'm not sure on how to do it. And that's not my job. But we want WBC approved, experienced judges who know what they're looking at and who ain't looking to rob someone's eyeballs out.
I mean, I agree with you. American judges, though, Tyson, are just as bad sometimes as British judges. Like, I mean, they suck sometimes just as bad. I mean, is there, like, are you looking for a specific nationality or just kind of like what the WBC says?
I just want experienced judges who's done big world title fights. I don't want someone who's never done a world title fight before on a high level. I want experienced, proper judges for the fight. Mm-hmm. People who's done many world title fights before, so that nothing goes on, skullduggery and all that. I'm not looking for gift decisions or favours from anybody. Let me do the fighting and them do their job. But all we want as boxers, and I speak on behalf of every boxer that puts a pair of gloves on, is the right decision. Whether you lose or you win, just be fair. And that's all we're looking for. Because at the end of the day, if you put your life and soul into something and then some guy took it away from you, you wouldn't be very happy. And it's disheartening for kids coming through as well.
Yeah, no question.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back. And joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
It can change lives.
It ain't just the Josh Taylor Cattrall fight. It's been so many over the years. It's been ridiculous.
I wrote about Mauricio Herrera, one of the great robbery examples. Like when he lost to Danny Garcia and he lost a couple other fights that he should have won. That's millions of dollars and life-changing titles that these guys lose out on.
Sometimes the judges are a bit beneficial to the home fighter, to the one they think sold the tickets, to the one they think the show sold by. But it shouldn't be like that. This is boxing. It's people's risking their lives. No matter if you're a journeyman and you come to the UK and you've sold no tickets and you got a young guy there who sold 1,000 tickets and he's popular, if he gets beat, he gets beat. And this is a lot of the reasons why that when we go over to America or to a foreign country to fight, and we've only ever had bums and gift decisions, when we fight real fighters, they get exposed and knocked back out in a few rounds. And it's mainly to do with the robbery decisions they've had over the years and the soft touches, easy opponents. But now I do believe it has changed a lot in England. People are fighting stiffer opposition. And when they fight for the world title, they're more ready for it rather than just knocking out a load of, as the Americans would say, tomato cans on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. Before I let you go, you've been linked to Alexander Usyk in the future. You fought Vladimir Klitschko in the past. You see them now over in the Ukraine wearing uniforms, carrying weapons, putting their lives on the line in the coming weeks and months to come. What do you think of that?
What I got to say about that is if a war happens in the United Kingdom or the United States, I'll be the first man to join up.
Mm-hmm. It's something to see. I mean, when you see those pictures, I mean, does it resonate with you?
Like I said, they're defending the country, they're defending what they believe in, and that's for them to decide. You know, it's not really something that I have an opinion on, politics and war and all that, because no matter what you say, you're upsetting somebody. So they're all fans, whether they're Russian, Ukrainians, or whatever they are, they're probably, some of them might be fans of mine. So, you know, it's nothing to do with me. And if it comes to Britain or America, like I say, I'll be joining arms and we will be lighting motherfuckers up. So don't worry about that.
You got it, Tyson. Always appreciate your time, Tyson. Good luck in April. Dillian White, even though he's not going to be there today, I'm sure you'll get your hands on him at one point.
Boosh, the WBC king. Check it out. Adios, amigos.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, time now for this week's picks brought to you by FanDuel. Tough week last week. I went out on a limb and picked the underdog in the Jose Ramirez, Jose Pedraza fight. I had Pedraza winning by decision. Didn't come to that. It was Ramirez all the way in that fight. But I am confident that I am going to bounce back this week. And I'm focused this week on the featherweight title fight over in the UK between Michael Conlan and Lee Wood. Now, Michael Conlan is the more recognizable name. He is the multi-time Olympian, the guy signed by Top Rank coming out of the 2016 Olympics. He has an undefeated record. But I like Lee Wood to win this fight. I have not been impressed with what I've seen by Michael Conlan. He's got some good wins as of late. He beat TJ Dohany in his last fight. Dohany, a former title holder himself. But I just don't see anything special in Michael Conlan. I don't see a lot special in Lee Wood either, but his last couple of fights have been really impressive. He beats an undefeated fighter in Reese Mould by knockout. In his last fight, he beat Zhu Khan. He not only knocked out Zhu Khan, he was up on the scorecards at the time of the knockout. And if you know anything about Zhu Khan, being up against him is tough because he is a huge volume punching guy. So Lee Wood in this fight is the underdog, plus 138 over at FanDuel. I am taking Lee Wood to win. I am also taking Wood to win by decision. I think Conlan's tough. I think he's going to hang in there. I think it's going to be close. It might be a split decision over in the UK. But Lee Wood, plus 340 to win by decision, take that. I'm going to bounce back big this week, and I'm doing it with Lee Wood. That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Achan Barak and Tyson Fury for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.